This is the best of WIP.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, and a big one tonight as the Flyers come home. Game number three, trying to get back in this series after an overtime loss in game two. Hugh, you ready for some hockey tonight?
You know it. Cannot wait.
Yeah, I noticed you haven't picked out the guy you hate on the Hurricanes yet. Maybe tonight's the night. Because Letang, you grew to hate Letang.
Yeah, because it was a little, like, with this team, it's a lot of young cats on it that, I mean, it was all over the place. Mm-hmm. And they're very fast. It was hard to pick out who I should hate on this team.
Well, former Flyer Nick Delorier is on their fourth line there, and he was kind of like our goon type guy.
You could hate him, Hugh.
So we can hate him.
Okay, we can do that. Okay.
Somebody will end up fighting him.
Need someone we pick out that we hate. We need a win tonight. So let's talk to Al Morgagni about the Flyers game three tonight here in Philadelphia. Al, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Ready for the another welcome home. I was just down the arena. You got all the new T-shirts out with the new, a little less risky saying in the front. But everybody's ready to roll. So it's going to be a fun day down there.
So how you feeling about tonight, Al? You know, you're the guy that I go to. I already made my bet with Ashland. I'm picking the Flyers, no question about that. But how you feeling tonight about tonight's match?
Hugh, I don't know. I'm feeling like more than anything. Well, in the first place, Tippett's not playing.
Yeah,
which is real. I thought he might be able to play at this point. You know, they don't disclose anything in hockey, but it's not anything that you could quote play through. I would guarantee that. So whatever it is, there's got to be like a doctor's decision going on here. So, I mean, that really hurt because Cates is out. And Cates is so important because he does so many things. When, you know, that goal where, the winning goal in the last series, that was Cates that kind of set it up. So, I mean, that's a huge blow. I do think, however, I understand that Carolina is a quote, better team, more depth, veteran leadership, work hard, all that stuff. There's nothing lopsided about this. I mean, you just go through the regular season, this one and past ones, it seems like every game's overtime. Mm-hmm. You know, you game on your stick in overtime. That's about as much as you can ask for. And I think you'll have – their goaltender hasn't had the bad game that he's very capable of. So I'm not surrendering this at all, but I do think this is quote, must win for this series. You ain't coming back on three on Carolina. Plus, they haven't lost. And I mean, this isn't a team that put together like 15 wins in a row in a regular season. It's been a while since they've lost. And to play that hard for such a long period of time is really, really difficult. So we'll see if they can get an edge tonight. But missing those couple of players is really, really going to hurt.
Al, what was your bigger takeaway from Game 2? Because there's two ways to look at Game 2. I mean, Game 2 was they had it right there, and they outplayed them in overtime. Yep. They probably should have won the game. But the other way to look at it is they took the lead. They were up for most of the game. And this Carolina team, you were kind of alluding to it, forget lose a game. They hadn't even trailed in a game in a very long time. So, you know, I thought there was a lot of encouraging things. The fact that they could lead a game on Carolina for that much of the game. Like, I heard Tockett after the game, and it seemed like he wanted to accentuate the positive. Hey, we played well tonight because that's what they got to feel, and hopefully they do feel when they start tonight.
Yeah, I thought there was no sense in hammering them after a loss like that because they played really well. I mean, played about to their – they didn't – you're only going to get a limited number of chances, and you absolutely have to capitalize on them against this team. They've had some breakaways in each game, and that is a plus if that can happen. The real plus would be, God forbid, the power play comes through. Now, neither team's had a real good one, but boy, what a difference that would make. I would have been tempted to play Bonk, the kid defenseman, young defenseman in this game, just to get a different power play look, but it doesn't look like they're going to go in that direction, which probably they have enough young players. They don't need to add another one in this lineup. But yeah, I was encouraged after the last game, and I got to think that the young guys, the more you play, the better experience you get. They'll get some jolt out of this crowd, although I'm a little concerned, like when you play rivals like the Sixers had with the Celtics and the Flyers had with the Penguins, I'm hoping that jolt of energy is still there. I mean, there is something to rivalry that, you know, you couldn't pay to get bigger pump of energy than playing against Crosby. So that's what I hope comes into the building tonight that you have when you play this team, because they're going to need it. This many young players. Joe, they had on the ice in Carolina, I think I counted 11 of their own draft picks.
Wow.
That's incredible. Damn. That's incredible that they had on. I think it'll be 10 tonight if they go with the lineup I'm thinking of. So they pretty well, you know, headed in the right direction. But I wouldn't think that this is house money here. I mean, you know, in hockey, you got a chance. It's always like a one-goal game. Go into overtime, see what happens.
You know what, Al? When I was watching the game the other night, I was surprised. It felt like I could have closed my eyes and thought I was in Philadelphia. Were you surprised that that many fans in Carolina was that rabid about hockey?
No, they've won. I think when you have markets like that, even like the Florida Panthers with a couple of cups, mm-hmm. you got to win, right? Like in Philly, you don't necessarily, you just got to be good in Philly, play hard. You know what the cliches are.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of have to be really competitive there. And that team's been really competitive. And I got to say, I don't know that I've seen a fan base so attached to the coach.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's one of ours, so to speak, Brind'Amour. I mean, they are genuinely, I mean, he is the face of the, literally the face of the franchise there with some awesome players, obviously. But he's been there so long now. And they really do. They really do feed off that. It's a team that they. It's an easy team to like,
mm-hmm.
and that's what it is. You got to win. And down south, I guess you got to win for everything in hockey.
Al, do you look at Carolina as the team to beat? They are in the East. So,
yeah.
You know, by the odds, the West it looks like the Avalanche. I mean, we haven't really talked about the other part of the bracket,
no.
right? So the winner of this will take on the Bruins are in that.
The Sabres
went up last night. Sabres and Canadiens. Yeah. How do you view the way this East is set up and Hurricanes and who do you think is coming out of that other series we just mentioned?
I think that the Sabres are probably going to come out of that. Now, this is the crime to me. I think the Flyers would beat either one of those teams. Mm. And that's why when I look at this team, and I look at it like they're playing on magic or anything, I think that they've developed over the last 2 months to be very, very good. And I think they'd have a really good chance of beating either one of those teams. I don't think anybody's going to touch Colorado or if Minnesota happens to get through. But I think that's the case there. I mean, the Flyers are really playing. Everyone say it's like the hot team or whatever, but it's more than that. They really have developed a style. And I'm curious to see. This is a good coaching challenge, especially with the injuries, because you have to move people up. It involves your centerman position. You now have to match a couple of lines with Carolina. They've got one hot line right now with Stankoven, but their Aho line is also very, very good. So I'm curious how Tocchet's going to match up with this right now. This is a big, big test for just getting the right people on the ice, and obviously with injuries, people coming up and playing big. So, I mean, after what we've gone through with the Sixers, it's kind of all on the Flyers' plate, isn't it?
Yeah, it does feel like that.
It really is. It really is. Like the town was so hot, and then the Sixers, I feel better about the Flyers than the Sixers right now.
Well, that's,
yeah, it feels like it's more of a,
feel the opposite.
Yeah, what do I know about basketball? But I will tell you this, as the basketball expert that I am, mm-hmm. if you're going to have a league and a team especially that does load management, didn't it make sense to sit Embiid in game one?
In retrospect, yes. Well, Al, that game with just the one day in between game seven in Boston, game one in New York, that felt like a loss before they even started the game. So,
well, I mean, when you have those in your season, I'm like, that's why in hockey nobody gets it. I mean, you don't take anything off. You're not
right.
playing. You play. But in basketball, I mean, if that's your climate coming in, it just seems to me, like if you said you had seven games in a row against whatever team in a regular season, no way you play seven, right?
No, none. I mean, Embiid hasn't played six straight games in years at any point of any season. So,
I guess it might have flipped out the league office, but, I mean, you asked for it.
Yeah.
And that would have given, I mean, to me, that was your best chance to win the series. I'm coming from a league where, you know, McDavid played with basically a broken ankle.
Sure.
We don't know what's wrong with Tippett, but it's got to be big. You got to have one leg not to play. But if you're used to doing it the other way, man, I think they may look back at that and say, you know, that's just our best chance. So this, and we're going to have to live with it.
So speaking of that and kind of load management and just how much player plays, when I was watching the game two nights ago, the Flyers game, Emily Kaplan, who does the sideline on ESPN, she was talking about how Dan Vladar, who has been brilliant for the Flyers, he's never played this much. You know, his career, I think his career high in games was 30, and now when you add the regular season and postseason, I think we're at 60 now, Alan. Talking about how Tocchet's tried to kind of help him in practice and maybe give him some reps off. How do you think he's holding up? How do you think he will continue to hold up? Because this is basically double that he's ever played before.
Yeah, it has, and that would have worried me in a regular season. But you know, goaltending's like so mental, and he's just mentally into it at this point. It's like I do think, Joe, that the fact that they've been playing playoff hockey for so long, when you consider what it took to get into the playoffs, he's just mentally right there all the time. And that is the exhausting part. Plus overtimes. I mean, you just look at their I think they probably lose 10 pounds in overtime at goaltender, the way they play. But, yeah, you got to manage your time off. But I don't worry about him losing an edge or whatever. I mean, yeah, you can have a bad game, and a bad game for him is three goals, right? And it's like, you know, that you can have that, but he's not going to wilt under this or just be physically not able to handle it. Yeah, they get the day off, and they kind of manage their practice schedule or whatever. So that doesn't worry me. I am kind of looking at the other side and thinking Anderson can have a bad game. That's, you know, that would be the bonus that the Flyers might get.
All right, Al, let's end with this. We've really kept this to the current Flyers, but there's a story in hockey a couple days ago that we played some of the audio. So first, the bizarre hiring by the Toronto Maple Leafs. Then they win the lottery.
Yeah,
but
crazy.
Also, the kind of the backdrop is Austin Matthews has been noncommittal about his future. So now it affects the Flyers with the draft pick coming back next year. Al, give me your take on what's going on up there. And is there any chance that this offseason Matthews becomes available and it's something the Flyers explore?
I don't know if it is the offseason. If he does kind of indicate he wants out, yes, they'd be in as good a position as anybody, maybe San Jose, to kind of make a move. I've often thought this would be a landing spot, and it's not just him. I mean, Brady Tkachuk up there, you saw Matthew Tkachuk leaves Calgary. I mean, there's issues, and plus what's going on in Toronto. And I think, Joe, that's why it's so important that this team, you look at and you say, is it a place you'd want to go? And you look at what they have going here with the young kids they have now, more on the way, and the success that they've had just this year. I think if he decides to let them know, and usually I don't want to say it's a courtesy, but you sort of give the indication to your front office. Plus, the fact that the Flyers have one of their draft picks, it's a fit. I will say that it's a fit. I don't think right now it's like that Toronto's looking to do anything. And I don't know if I'm that GM, if that's the first move I'm going to make. But I think if the season goes along, that might be something that they look at. But you're correct. I mean, I think everybody's sort of looking sideways up there and thinking, could we be the team that, you know, eventually gets Austin Matthews? And they will have the capital. They certainly have, with the new salary cap that's come out, they've got lots of cap room coming up. They've got rid of the contracts that they had to get rid of. They've got a boatload of wingers that they could move, and now the draft pick, because that was a big win for the Flyers when Leafs won that lottery, because it gave them a first rounder. Wow, it's still undecided, 27-28, but there's a lot of capital should they decide to go in that direction.
Yeah, it's a fun story, and we'll be following it, and it'd be awesome if you landed here.
Flyers tonight, come back home, Xfinity Mobile Arena, puck drops at 8 o'clock, and here to help us preview the matchup is
it's an 8 o'clock game tonight.
I believe so.
Oh, okay.
Is our good friend Broads. How are you, Broads?
Hello, gentlemen. Listen, do not rain on the parade. They're down 0-2, but it doesn't mean they can't win this puppy. Game 3, get everybody all juiced up. What if I guarantee a victory? Well, I'm just saying, what if I guarantee a victory?
Like,
you're not buying that at all?
No.
You're not buying the guarantee?
I
put the stamp on it. Come on, man. There's going to be 20,000. Did I get the number right? I always get the number wrong with you guys.
20,000.
Come on,
fine.
Dude. Like, where's the fire coming all in here like they're down 0-2?
Wow, they're down 0-2 to a good team.
Yeah, they're a little injured.
But
come on, dude.
I tried.
Well, I tried.
I think it's one thing for a coach or a player to guarantee a win.
You what? I got the Flyers sung sunglasses on.
Yeah, I think it's a little different.
Pretty cool. I wore mine today, too.
Yeah. All right. Whatever. Well, I tried.
I'm in.
I had to put all my Flyer stuff on today. Yeah. I might not get to wear it anymore.
You should have worn your maxi jersey. He played 47 minutes last night. Did you know that?
Build him a statue.
Did you know that, Ike? He played 47. It's a shame he ran out of gas. Yeah. It's not his fault.
Yes, build him a statue.
It's not his fault.
Don't do that to me.
It's not his fault.
We'll get to that after.
Okay.
Flyers first.
Okay.
Enough.
I'm going to the game tomorrow, by the way.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I bought tickets for me and my wife date night because we both love basketball.
What did the tickets cost you?
I'm the Sixers guy.
What did the tickets cost you?
At the time?
Yeah.
Because I bought them right after they won game 7.
Oh.
It was $500 a pop.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
$500 a pop.
How much are we paying?
Now, luckily, I know people. I know people.
Was it going to cost you $500 a pop or not?
I got it comped. I got it comped.
Oh, well, then
but I got
it's
the
free.
Tickets. Well, yeah.
Oh, but, so is it part of your little sponsorship?
I got a little how do you do going. Okay. But still, $500 pop.
Well, but it's not $500. You got it free.
Yeah. But that's what they were. That was the market.
Where are they? Where are they?
Section 120, row 16.
Okay.
There
right.
you go.
Can we get back to the Flyers?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Let's go Sixers.
All right. What do we have to do? We're down 0-2. Winning a game changes the entire complexion of the series. There's a huge difference, obviously. I know this sounds dumb, but between 3-0 and 2-1. What are the most important things? Oh, well, come on, man. What are the most important things for the Flyers tonight to get back in this thing?
I think the first one's going to start with Rick Tocchet, because he spoke to the media about now that you're at home, you have the ability to match lines. You have the last change. So you get to see what Carolina throws out there, and then you can pick your forwards that you want out there at the same time. So when you're home, you get last change. So you can play the matchup advantage.
Oh, could you explain that to me? Yeah. I don't know that. So
essentially, Carolina has to put out the five guys they want first, and then you have the luxury when you're the home team to say, all right, I see what they have out there. Now you get the last change.
Okay.
So you can sort of play matchups better when you're at home.
Now that's just the opening, right?
No, that's all every stoppage.
Okay.
Every single time there's a face-off, you get to see, unless it's an icing and you have to keep your guys out there.
You get to see which line's coming out and you get to match it.
Yeah.
I was not aware of that. Now that doesn't, just to be clear, and I know that. That doesn't change. You can change things on the fly if you want to. I mean, like, you don't, your lines aren't set.
No,
okay.
No. Right. You can do whatever you want mid-game or whatever.
Okay.
But
you
obviously have a big line in Stankoven and Hall and Blake, and these guys are buzzing around. So now that you're home, how are you going to utilize Couturier? How do you want to utilize, Noah Cates is injured, but you got Dvorak and Zegras is moving back to center and Denver Barkey. And I guess there are just ways, and Rick Tocchet made this clear, that's why I'm kind of preaching on it, is, he needs to find the balance of using his lines to match up against the other team's best, but also don't do too much where you remove what they can do offensively. Essentially, don't make it a focus where it's just about stopping Carolina. Allow your team to be able to pursue and be aggressive at the same time. How do you find that balance? So Rick Tocchet's got a pretty tall task today.
Okay, so Tocchet, what else?
Tocchet. I feel a little nasty doing this just because it's expecting a lot, but I need Dan Vladar to almost allow one at minimum. I know.
You need him to stand on his head.
Yeah.
One at maximum, I think you mean.
Sure, yes. Maximum. One.
Right.
Just because that goal the other day where Ehlers skated through the neutral zone, they tied it up with that Jarvis shot, it hit his glove. It hit his glove, and that's one that he normally makes. And if he makes that save, then it's a completely different hockey game. So I need maximum one goal for Carolina. And again, that's really scary to ask.
Well, but to beat a team that is for an upset to happen,
you got
to
do that.
You need it from him, and he's been such a big part of the reason that they're here. I mean, game six. I mean, they had two shutouts in the Penguin series.
Right.
So yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So you kind of need him.
Yeah, you do. And then my third one here is. Listen, Couturier's been an animal. He's been everywhere. He's been dominating. We haven't had a Porter Martone moment, a Travis Konechny moment, a Trevor Zegras moment.
Good point.
Couturier needs help. It needs to be one guy. Like, Martone needs a goal and an assist. Zegras needs to have maybe two power play goals if we're lucky. We need someone. We need a game where we can look back and be like, wow, look at the game Dvorak had who really helped out Sean Couturier. We haven't really had the Martone thing. He's quieted down, rightfully so, but we need a moment. We need some. It was Konechny last game. He just freaking missed the net.
Well, I was going to say, you say Konechny didn't have a moment. There was a moment.
Yeah.
It was right there.
And he failed.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about Martone.
Yes.
Do you think the college season and then rushing it, is it starting to catch up to him a little bit?
It could
be. How does he look? I don't. I'm watching, but I don't know if he should be faster. Is he playing the way he should be playing? Like, what do you think?
He just probably looks overwhelmed by the speed of this. You know, like he's getting thrown in. He gets a taste, a cup of coffee of like 7 regular season games, and then here's Carolina pursuing a Stanley Cup. I just think he's just overwhelmed by the speed, the pace, the physicality, and his line mates too, and everyone he's playing with, they're also a little overwhelmed. So it's not like he's playing next to Sidney Crosby, who can calm the game down for him and allow for him to kind of get comfortable out there. Yeah. You just have a lot of youth with a lot of unknown thrown into the fire, and they're trying to figure it out on the fly. So I think that's kind of where it is for me. It's just a lot. Well, it's a lot.
Also, Martone's played with these guys for a month.
A month,
yeah,
you know,
right.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of, you know, a lot of that is on the fly. It is knowing where a guy's going to be, you know, without having to communicate with him. It's getting into that rhythm, and I think we forget sometimes that when Martone came here with 4 games left in the regular season or 5 games left in the regular season, he's played 10 games with these guys.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
it's not.
Seems like he's been here a month.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically. Been
two
about
months.
It, right?
Yeah, give or take at this point.
It's been about a month.
I feel like I've been rooting for him for 6 months.
Well, that's because you got it in your blood. You got the Michigan State green in your blood. I know you were watching a lot of Penn State, Michigan college hockey Friday.
We were at the draft party.
That's right.
So game 3, man. I think the building's going to be popping, right?
I was going to say, what's the building going to be like tonight?
What's the barn going to be like?
Do you think it's nervous energy, or do you think it's just rally behind them and say, leave it out there, fellas. We'll love you anyway. You think it's that type of vibe?
Yeah, I don't think it's nervous.
No, me neither.
Okay.
Yeah, I think there's probably a lot of people who wanted that first round series, probably inside, understand where everything stands, and just is leave it out there. We're proud of the guys.
Proud of you.
You know?
Yeah.
No Owen Tippett, no Noah Cates. So healthy, they weren't even on the level of Carolina.
Right.
Now you're banged up and you're asking guys to get thrown in there. I mean, yeah, the fourth and third line, some of it, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know? Although the fourth line's been good. I'm just saying, really, the third line is what I'm saying.
I think the key tonight is taking out Eric Robinson, bro.
Oh, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing they can do tonight.
He's taking shots at my boy.
I was going to say, Eric
you guys
Robinson?
Are buddies,
yeah,
right?
Well, yeah, well, I raised a South Jersey kid. We played at Gloucester Catholic together, and now he's ready to kick my team's ass in the second round. It's very disappointing.
You and
every other team we play.
I know. All right, hear me out, because this is a very emotional time for me.
Oh, of course.
Well, I'm just saying, first series was a tough one, because it was my favorite player ever, the greatest player to ever touch hockey.
It wasn't that tough.
It was emotionally draining, but I got through it.
He's not better than Gretzky. It's easy.
It's close. And then,
it's not close.
Fine, I get it. Okay. It's not. I'm just being a jerk. I'm pulling at Elliott Shore Parks.
Okay. All right.
Is he better than Ovi?
He's a better all-around player. Ovi's a better goal scorer, but he does the little things better. Oh, dude, don't even get me started.
Yes,
don't get me started. Don't get me started. Don't get me started. So good.
You're going to get a tattoo of Sidney Crosby.
Right on the thigh. And then, the second round. So he was in my wedding. I was in his wedding. Am I supposed to root against him?
I saw the picture.
Am I supposed to root against him?
Yes.
That's like my brother, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I am. I shot him a text and said, good luck.
You can root for him to be successful.
Of course. Well, he got robbed by Vladar 3 times in game 2. I texted him and said, you suck. You suck. You can't even score against Vladar, you stiff.
But how would you have felt had he scored?
Probably excited and sad at the same time. Well, dude, that's my brother. The joke was, I was the third Robinson growing up.
Okay.
So I was literally the third Robinson brother. We all played hockey. What do you want me to do?
Is there any team the Flyers could play in the playoffs that you're not going to be secretly rooting for?
Probably Buffalo. Okay. I wouldn't have a connection to Buffalo.
All right.
A very frustrated Broads as the Flyers go down 0-3 to the Carolina Hurricanes. They get abused by a score of 4-1 at the Xfinity Mobile Arena. And I'll tell you what the real shame is about this one. I thought their first period was electric. I really did. When I was there, because I had to leave a little early to get here to the studio. But when I was there, the building was on fire. Porter Martone hits the post. There was an awesome passing sequence where Martone passes it to Bump after Zegras was in the corner and won a battle. That was awesome. Grundstrom is in the middle of the blue paint. He's creating some life. I'm going, yo, they're getting some chances. And even when the Flyers allowed the power play goal and they were down 1-0, Ristolainen puts a puck on net that almost squeezed by before Slavin saved it at the goal line. So I'm thinking, snap of the fingers, their next opportunity down the ice, they're throwing punches right back. They don't give a damn they're down. I love it. But then, one call went against them, and they completely fell apart. I personally believe Taylor Hall hitting Travis Sanheim was a 5-minute major. That was so dirty, it's disgusting. That 1,000% deserved a 5-minute major. The problem? Their power play effing blows. It's awful. So even if they had a 5-minute major, they would have allowed a shorthanded goal anyway because Drysdale doesn't know what he's doing off the faceoff in the Ozone. That sucked the life out of the team. So you get robbed of a call. You broke down emotionally to the point where you couldn't execute on the ice. And you blink and it's in the back of your net and you're down 2-1. After Zegras tied it, when there was a delayed call and an extra attacker on the ice, I hated the way they cracked. Listen, we always knew it was going to be an uphill battle. And big picture, we're very proud of what they've been able to accomplish to even be in this position, and that is not going to leave me. I'm aware of that. But as I sit in this chair and react to what occurred tonight, I'm aggravated. Because they allowed the emotions to unfortunately unravel everything about their game. And the point of this is to learn to not let that happen. But it doesn't help when the guy who rocks an A on his chest in Travis Konechny is punching people in the face because he's all pissed off and he's all aggravated. And I hated how immature everybody looked afterwards. 20 seconds to go. Nick Seeler has his gloves on, punching people in the face. Ristolainen is trying to take Ghost down. You just look like babies. I really hated how unprofessional things unraveled. That bothers me. So I'm still proud of who they are. I'm still proud of what they've done to get here. But, you know, I could live with game two. And the resilient effort and the overtime period, and they were actually cycling the puck down low, going low to high, creating chances in overtime. That effort I respected more. It was always about, can I respect the way you go to work, the way you attack your business in this series, even if you eventually fail? Because, truth be told, it was always set up for them to fall in this series because the talent disparity is large. But I don't like the way it looked. I hate the fact that life drained them because their units on special teams are so bad. It's so bad. There are people who don't watch hockey on a day-to-day basis that hear everybody else say how bad it is. I need you to know that you thought Kevin Petullo's offense was disgusting. Multiply how bad those three and outs were by 50! 50! And that's what this power play unit is. It's the Eagles' offense and that disastrous season of three and outs times 50! And while they have personnel problems, it's not that bad where they could barely sniff a 10% chance on the power play with one more man on the ice than the other team. It's a joke. It's unacceptable. 215-592-9494. I want to hear from you if you're leaving the game. So one, I did appreciate their first. But unfortunately, not enough damage done in the first. In fact, zero damage done in the first. And one of the things I was looking for was you need to make sure whenever you have generated a wave, you got to make them pay. Because you're only going to have so many limited waves. Travis Konecny couldn't bury in game two when there was a huge botched play defensively for Carolina. He misses the net. You can't. You can't. And I thought the first period was an opportunity as a team to get something going. And they couldn't. So whenever you see them tilting the ice, whenever you see them apply pressure, whenever you watch them, you know, generate positivity, skating through the neutral zone and having a nice passing sequence to enter the zone, you gotta score. And they don't enough. And they especially can't when they're on the PP. All right, let's talk do it together at 215-592-9494. Maybe that's a good thing, though, that it's this eye-opening. Because nobody can debate it. Nobody can talk themselves into this team being closer than they really are. Yo, everybody watching, from people within the organization, people outside the organization, people all around the world, they know that there is a monster gap between what really wins at this time of the year and where the Flyers are. Now, I will push back a bit on the first period thing, because that was the period I was in the building before I ended up having to make some moves to get here in time. I understand that the Hurricanes also had some decent opportunities, because I remember I actually wrote it down in my notes. After the first 10 minutes, there was a few shifts in a row where it looked like the game settled and the Flyers were on their heels. So while there were pockets in the first where Carolina were buzzing, there was enough back and forth where it was just a good period where both teams had chances. Both teams were going back and forth. Both teams were taking jabs. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that first. I hope I wasn't describing it in a way that sounded as if the Flyers were legitimately insanely annihilating the Hurricanes for that long in the first. It was just a good start. I think the building was popping. They had some good chances, and they were going back and forth with the chances. But after that, it was just straight vomiting all over themselves. And you mentioned Dvorak. He's been a nothing burger. A nothing, a flat-out zero in the playoffs. Now, some are mentioning that he's going through a lot physically, and he's battling through a ton that's not necessarily known about. Well, I'm sure a lot of guys are. But the Dvorak in the regular season was a staple. He was. He was a big, important detail to who they were. Now I'm watching him go into the box a billion times in this game. It's unacceptable. I got a tweet during the game, and it said, Brodes, what's going on right now? Brodes, how come it seems so quiet in there? The first period was buzzing. My ears were ringing when they came out of the locker room. The whole place was bonkers. When the crowd dies out, it's because of the product on the ice is so abysmal that it unfortunately leaks into the 20,000. You gotta get us on our feet. You gotta bring us to life. And when you finally get a power play in the offensive zone and Jamie Drysdale's on the wall doing the dumbest little, I don't even know what you want to call it. There's a 2-on-1 headed the other way. Come on. And then the goal. That was so deflating. You knew. You all knew. Everybody knew.
Let's get at it. Look, Flyers, disappointing, obviously. Here's where I'm at. I'm going to boil it down to four words. Because we can react to last night, we can react to this series, we can react to this season. Here's where I'm at, four words, I think it sums it up pretty well. They're not there yet. They're not there yet. And I'll give you actually three more words.
And Carolina is there.
Three more words. Yeah, you're right, John. And three more words. And that's okay. It's okay. I mean, look, guys, no one expected the Flyers or almost any team to go from we stink to the championship. That's not normally the way it works. Even when the Eagles won the title in 2017, and they kind of came out of nowhere, they were 7-9 the year before. They weren't good, but they weren't like 4-12. The Flyers had been bad for 5 years. Bad. And by the way, bad for most of the last 10 years. Bad. They stunk. So, you know, I can accept this. Now, I'm not happy about it, and we can lament. There's things to lament. There's been opportunities in this series. Is it theoretically possible the Flyers could have gotten a game or two by now? Of course. Look, the things we'll look back on within this series, in game one, the Flyers outplayed Carolina. They were in the first period. They were in a 1-0 hole at the end of that period. In game two, the Flyers outplayed Carolina in overtime. They lost overtime. In game three, the Flyers outplayed Carolina.
Game two, we were up 2-0.
No, I know. That's so.
Also,
I know.
Mean, that
no,
hurts.
No, for sure. And in game three,
that felt like the one we let slip away.
Oh, well, for sure. And in game three last night, Flyers clearly outplayed Carolina in the first period and, again, had nothing to show for it. So we can point to these things. But on the whole, when you watch now what's been 10 periods of hockey, and that's what we've had, three games, one overtime in there. When you watch 10 periods of hockey, it is quite obvious that the Carolina Hurricanes are better than the Flyers. Put another way, and I'll take your reaction to this. If your reaction is basically as simple as mine, or if you want to make it more complex, that's fine. But my main reaction, watching 10 periods of hockey, they're not there yet, dot, 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 and that's okay. It's disappointing, but it's not really wholly unexpected. Your thoughts and your chance to weigh in, 215-592-9494.
I don't care if it's expected or not. I'm sad that we can't play with the best of the best in the NHL. And I do think the Hurricanes are the best of the best. They haven't lost this postseason.
They really might be.
You know, they're just really solid. 7-0. We're not ready to beat the best of the best in the NHL. The Hurricanes are legit. I wish the officials would have let this series more up to the players.
I agree.
Than they have.
I agree with you, John.
And I don't mean to be Mr. Complainer about it, but man, Rick Tocchet says this Flyers team is best when it's 5-on-5. We don't get to be 5-on-5 very often with the way they're calling this series.
Yeah. Yep.
So I do think that's hurt us, and I think the series has been marred by over-officiating.
I agree with you.
So that's problematic, but it doesn't change the fact that we aren't where we need to be.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I do think that's okay because this team is young. They will build and be better for this experience. I'm so glad that this gets us better prepared for what's to come, but it's seemingly not going to be this year.
Well, it's not, and John, I think your word sad is a good one. It's how I feel this morning. It's how I felt last night going to bed. I mean, you feel sad. I mean, look, you get revved up on something, and then the rug gets pulled out pretty quick, and then, like, you just have the end. But here's the good thing. Here's the good thing. It's the end, but it's not the end. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of these players just aren't there yet, but will improve. Porter Martone will get better. It will be fascinating to see what happens with Mishkov's career. I don't know. I don't know where that goes. Obviously, it'll be really interesting to find out if Vladar is the man for a bunch of years or not. I don't know. I'm actually not sure. We got to have a conversation, frankly, about whether he should start game four, and we'll get into that. Do I wish Konechny was better? Yeah. I think Konechny has hurt them. Look, he's scrappy, he fights. When I say fights, I mean he mucks it up. You know, he's trying to do veteran stuff. He's trying to get under the other team's skin. And he's, like, decent at that, but he just doesn't convert enough. I mean, Travis Konechny has probably had the most important opportunities in this series unconverted of any Flyer. And, by the way, for the totality of the playoffs now, which is, what, 6 games last series and 3 this series, 9 games. I mean, he just doesn't score at the clip you'd like, especially for a player who should essentially be the most advanced, who should be the most in his prime. You know, like, who should be the most in his prime? Probably Konechny, Sanheim, Ristolainen, you know, guys that have been around for a bit. And so, like, maybe I remember when Konechny got up here and said, like, oh, this guy's going to be a Briere prop. Well, no, he's not. Okay, he's not even close. He's all right. But he's not there, probably will never get there. I'm not trying to dump on Travis Konecny. I'm just using him as an example as someone who's one of the little bit of an older guy who's not really that good. But the younger guys are going to get better. And I can accept as a Flyers fan that while this is going to be the end soon for this season, it's not the end. And that makes me happy. I thought there was a lot of very interesting stuff in Tockett's press conference last night. Rhea obviously played one of them there in the audio and in the update. Let's listen to another one. Clearly he recognizes the inexperience of his team, and I think that in many ways was a hallmark of things he said last night. Look, I'm watching Tockett, you know, coach this game, and I see in his face, this is just my impression. You may have a different impression. But I see in his face a guy with 40 years experience who knows his team's not quite ready yet. That's the way I personally interpret the situation, but that's also how I interpret Tockett interpreting the situation. Let's listen to Tockett last night talking about the inexperience of his guys.
Rick, I know we talked about the power play ad nauseum all season, but the 5-on-3 you guys had in the second period, one shot on goal, does that sort of encapsulate all the struggles, not just this series, but during the whole season?
Yeah, but there's an experience there. Right off the bat, we take a shot. We have three guys behind the guy who shot the puck. Like we're just too antsy, and then they have two up and one back, and we, you know, you got to go low with the play. And we got to make a low play. So there's a couple of things that we just, when the pressure hits, the reads were not there. You can tell guys are really, they're nervous, right? And we got to try to help them.
When you hear inexperienced and nervous. You know, I mean, so look, 215-592-9494. James, is it, and I agree with John, the refs have had a hell of a hand in this. Okay, I don't want to misconstrue there. But James, is it basically as simple as they're not ready yet?
Yeah, I think it's a combo, and John also said, and Carolina's super duper ready. You know, I think it's a combo of them just going up against a team that is way more ready for the moment, and by the way, more talented and more together and played together longer and succeeded for longer and been in these games before. Like, it's just a bad matchup. I think what you said, you know, it's the end of something, but I think at the same time, it's the start of something else.
Totally.
You know, so totally. I think most Flyers fans, we're bummed that this is playing out this way, but at the same time, I think we could step back and have some perspective on what they've accomplished.
Look, I remember when the Eagles lost to the Giants in 2000. And it ended, you know, with a thud. Eagles
Ron
offense
Dixon.
Couldn't do anything. Yeah, Ron Dixon and the cornerback, Seahorn.
Seahorn, God.
Eagles offense couldn't do anything in that game. But you knew they had won a round. You knew they'd come from the ashes. And you knew they had a good future ahead. And that's pretty much the way I feel about this squad right now. Listen, man, look how good Martone is now. And he's gotten a little more quiet as the playoffs have gone on. But he's very good. And, you know, he's going to have a great future.
Would they
have
really five guys with playoff experience, I think, coming into the series, to the playoffs or something? I mean, that's, you know.
Well, I remember, James, if you saw that in the first game that they played against Pittsburgh, the national broadcast put up that Crosby had more total games played in the playoffs than the Flyers players, all of them combined.
Yeah, exactly, you know. Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, that Hall guy last night, what was the stat that they put up? It was his 139 it was some massive number of playoff games that he's been a part of. I don't know, it just feels like we're so seriously inexperienced, and there's nothing that you can do to correct that.
Well, there's only
except
one...
go get experience. Go play these games when they matter more, and that will make us better prepared the next time around.
The only other thing they could have done, and they could have, they haven't, but they could have, was play A-plus hockey. And they, I mean, Rhea, how many times have the Flyers in this series had golden opportunities and not scored the goal?
Travis Konecny had basically in the first period the same thing that he had in overtime.
Totally.
So, you know, I have a little bit different take on it. You know, is it okay that they're not as good as Carolina? Sure, because Carolina's at a different level.
Yep.
But if they had just been even barely competent on the power play, I'm saying barely, not good, not even average. I mean, barely. I don't understand how they can be so epically bad on the power play. Because, I mean, they had 5-on-3 and they got one shot. Because 5-on-5, they're not just hanging with them, they're sometimes have been better than them.
Yeah, and giving up the shorthanded goal last night was really, I think, the series backbreaker.
I mean, look, we talked about Martone changing a bit, but they were the worst in the NHL in the power play. Not in the playoffs, in the entire league. It's not shocking that this is coming back to bite them.
I'm like, couldn't you have learned something over an entire season to be, again, James, barely competent?
Al Morgani in person to talk about the Fly Guys down 3-0. Thanks for coming by, Al.
It's nice. I'm finally on the varsity. That's a cool thing.
Yes. Yeah. There you go. Clip that, deep voice Luke. Clip that. So, Al, before we get into the depths of this,
yes,
the call they didn't make. Who's the guy? Was it Hall that hit Sanheim?
Right.
Yeah. I can never tell. It looked like an obvious major to me.
It did.
Okay.
Looked like a dirty hit to me.
Yes.
Slow it down. If you're on the other side of the fence, you can say, well, it looked like he let up a little bit, didn't want to kill him. but, I mean, I thought it was a player that was in distress, and you should have stopped the hit. That was my read on it.
Overall, like, Flyers fans generally think that the referees are out to get them, that it's unfair. So last night, it felt – I normally think they're crazy. Overall, it felt – like it was reffed in a way that didn't feel fair to the Flyers, one way or another. Did you feel that way watching?
I did, only in that it was, in my opinion, not a playoff refereed game. They should have let a lot more go, and the Flyers got hurt early by it. But even if you try to use that, and I give Tocchet credit and the players credit for not trying to use it, when your power play is the way it is, what difference does it make?
Yeah,
I mean, really. But it was in my opinion, it's not the way you officiate a playoff game. I mean, there are rules, and then there are playoff rules. I'm not saying it's throw all the rules out the book, but you got to let some stuff go. You didn't let them play.
The you mentioned the power play. To me, it's not just that they don't score on it; they don't look crisp. It almost looks like they don't even practice it. They have the 5-on-3. I think they get one shot, and then the number of times that the puck ended up out of the zone and the Canes didn't do anything to cause it. It just the number of opportunities they wasted was pretty, and it's been that way all year. But it was pretty tough last
year. It's been 3 years. It's like trying to watch a bald guy grow hair. It's awful. It's just, I mean, this, oh, sorry.
Sorry.
I take his hat off. It's like, it's just been, it's so bad. It's not ill. It's a pandemic with that thing.
Yeah.
And this has been going on from year to year, coach after coach to come in. And a couple of weeks ago, Rick Tocchet said, we're going to fix it in the summer, basically, is what he said. We're going to put a spare tire on it for this year and see what we can get through. But a lot of it's just you got to have skilled players. For as much as they've improved, for as much as they've got good talent coming up, a lot of good draft picks and all, there's nothing in any sport like a guy that's just a flat-out skilled player. It's like a guy that might break all the rules in coaching but just has the skills and instinct to do it. It's in they can't find seams, or as they say. They don't space well at times. And I also think... I think it's in their heads a lot. When you're that bad at something for that long, it's like telling somebody to shut your eyes and think of anything but red. All you can think of is red. When your power play's like that, I think they get nervous about it. That shorthanded goal, I think they're so desperate to get something done. Drysdale tries to make a play he shouldn't make. But on the other side, Carolina makes – you make a mistake, boom, they're on you. They're just on you.
Yeah, I was going to say, it just sort of feels like – obviously, Carolina is the better team.
Yeah.
But the Flyers, who come out with the right mindset and the right intentions, at some point throughout the course of the game, they realize that they don't have enough and that they aren't good enough. And I wonder how deflating that could be for the team.
I think it was deflating, Ike, when Carolina did not play a good game, too. That's the scary part of this. It's not like Carolina every game's been on their A game. Right. They did not have their A game. And the Flyers got a couple of goals. And still they came back on them. Yeah. I mean, I thought the one advantage the Flyers had coming into this was in hockey, you can always – a goaltender can steal something. Mm-hmm. Vladar has been very good. Number three in goals above expected in the playoffs. Number three. Unfortunately, number one is playing for the other team right now. So even that advantage that you had has gone away because Anderson has been so good. I thought they might try to get in his kitchen a little bit. I thought maybe go through the blue paint some or whatever. But, man, he's in addition to everything else, they have better goaltending, which is amazing because Vladar has been very, very good.
What's happened to my guy, Porter Martone? Yeah. What's happened to him? Now, he had a misfortune, he played off the pipe.
He played a better – last night I thought he played a good game.
Yeah.
He kind of hit a wall. A lot of it might be – there's tape on him now, a video on him to see what they can do, kind of push him out of the front of the net. He's going to be a guy – I think he's going to have a long, long career in the league because he's big, physical, goes to the right place, a pretty smart player. But I don't know he's going to generate his own in basketball, create your own shot type of thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know that he's going to be able to do that. But he really did hit a bit of a wall, but he played well last night.
He hasn't been the only one.
No.
I mean, Forster has been pretty invisible. Konechny blows the overtime one. And so you wonder that. So my question on those guys is has anything about this series changed your outlook about those guys in the future?
No, not Forster particularly. Now, Konechny is kind of what he is, energy
right.
guy.
Yep.
He takes himself out at times because he over-revs the engine at times to go in, but he's an energy guy. It hasn't changed anything there. He missed that overtime goal, and sure enough, I would have bet on him to get a goal the next game in the first 10 minutes, and then they made a good save on him in that first few minutes of the game. And Forster has probably the best hockey IQ on the team. So even if he's gone cold a little bit, and I think he played a little bit on adrenaline coming back way earlier than he should have, so not at all. I don't think whatever happens in this series, whether they lose 4-0, 4-1, whatever, I don't think it hurts much in terms of what you're looking for in the future. It's pretty.
Yeah.
They played 11 of their own draft picks on Saturday night. That's a lot.
Right.
That's a lot. So they've got that going for them. They've got some smart players coming up. Barkey's been really exceptional to me going on. Zegers isn't up, and Tockett was barking at Zegers on the bench last
night. Yeah, I liked it. But then he scored afterwards.
And he's fine. And, Zegers today was fine with it. I mean, you don't want to pout. If you're going to pout, you're in the wrong league.
Yes, seriously.
Yeah, so, I mean, he'll be okay to get him signed. So, it's nothing that would change to me.
So before we start looking ahead, because we will. I want to look ahead here. I don't want to pretend that they're going to win four in a row. Looking back on the series, the Hurricanes just seem like they're better at literally everything. They have better power play, better penalty kill. The goalie's playing better. Was there anything schematically, like looking back on it, and said, if the Flyers had approached it this way, that's something they could have done?
If they had approached game one to avoid the hard forecheck that Carolina has by flipping the puck up high, which they did in the second game, and it was a little bit better, but no. Because I don't care what a coach does, you can't shoot for the players.
Right.
So if you've got yourself in position and you've got a couple of grade A opportunities, they've had breakaways in every game.
Yeah.
So I don't know that necessarily there's anything they could have. I mean, if it's sad, the truth is they went up a weight class.
Yes.
And really got out muscled in this. I mean, they had to almost be perfect in everything to even have a chance at this. And Carolina couldn't play near its potential every game, which is amazing to me. I covered this sport a long time. That's really hard to – I guess in any sport, it's really, really hard to do the small things right all the time.
Yes.
Really.
Especially when you're talented, actually.
It is. Yeah. And I watch them, and I go, it's amazing. Like, whatever the score is, they're in the right place. They get the puck out. They make little plays. It's like the Avalanche are the best team in hockey, and their theme song when they win the cup was all the small things. Is that a Blink song?
Yes.
And that's basically what they do. And so as much as they got talented players, man, they just kill you on basics. And that's gone on the whole series.
So looking ahead, where are the Flyers – like, where should they think they're at in this offseason? Uh-huh. Because if I'm a fan, right, I say to myself, hey, look, we're good now. We want a playoff series. We have all this flashy talent. Let's go and let's go for it. Let's,
yeah, I would question flashy talent.
Okay.
They've got a lot of really good players.
Okay.
I still think there's a – they've got money under the cap.
Yep.
We'll see what happens in the next year or two. You've got to have somebody that can quarterback the power play. I mean, you can't continue like this. I mean, it's been a killer. The other problem is, in this conference, a couple of teams that should, like Florida, should be very good. They're going to be better.
Right.
New Jersey's going to be better. I mean, this is the situation. You may have 100 points and miss the playoffs. So, I mean, if you think you're out of the woods on this, you're not out of the woods on this. And you got to hope these guys, like Michkov, comes in shape. And actually, he had a lot of points for a guy who didn't have a good season. But that's what you got to have. There has to be continued. But I do like the kids, and I really like Barkey's leadership role and Zegras. It's kind of cool to have guys that really want to be here, and that was supposed to be one of the things with Tocchet, that if you could attract players to come here, because there's like if you play in Canada, like Austin Matthews, Brady Tkachuk, everybody just expects they're going to get their visas ready to get out of town. And this has to be a place that you want to come to, and I think that's happened here now.
Now, are we ready to be players in free agency?
Nah, this year, well, I think you have to wait to see if Matthews wants out, but not really.
Okay.
The cap went up so much that they tend to keep their own players. If you could rewind time and somehow Cutter Gauthier didn't want to not play,
man,
I mean, it's sad to say, but that's the element that you're missing.
Well, you talk about all the small things. It's not just in the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's organizationally.
No.
Yeah.
Organizationally, they did such a great job bringing in Dvorak, bringing up Vladar, bringing, you know, Couturier's twice the player he was because they bring in Glendening. That stuff there, I mean, they've done a terrific job of using analytics to go find people to bring in.
Well, so back to the looking ahead thing. If you're a fan, like, can you look at next year and say next year is a year that we make noise, or is it this is a 2 years away situation?
I think you can make noise. I mean,
okay.
Yeah, but if the goaltender is what he is, the weird thing is, if they had somehow had a miracle to get through Carolina, I would have picked them against either Buffalo or Montreal.
Really?
Yeah, because I look at it, those teams, and Montreal just coming back. Buffalo hadn't made the playoffs forever. I think they would have given them at least a tussle, but I would have picked them to beat them. It's just that this team here, and then Carolina, I don't think will beat whoever wins out west. So we'll see what happens. But no, I think it's a nice future. They've got their pieces in place. I think they're a little – I don't know if you can be nervous about success.
No.
What comes
for
with
sure
it.
Sure you can. Yeah,
absolutely.
You can. Yeah.
Well, because the expectations.
Yes, expectations.
Yeah, there's still steps to take. I think they're going to be really, really good. I like the kids that they have. But I don't think it's a lock that, okay, now we're on our way, we're out of the woods, and we're going to be a playoff team for the next 10 years.
Well,
okay.
So Vladar signed a 2-year deal, right?
Yeah, he's got another year. And they'll probably wait. I mean, if it was me, I'd wait, you know, with goalies.
Well, because the worst thing that happens when that happens is he has a great year and you have to pay him, but then you're happy to do that as opposed to being nervous.
Yeah, and he's a solid citizen guy. He got his chance here. He's a terrific guy. I mean, I've dealt with a lot of goalies. He's the most normal.
Well, you know, you said sometimes you get nervous with the success. A lot of times it doesn't always happen. We look at rebuilding teams and we think sometimes there's this outline and here's the year that you're going to be successful and everything's going to line up. Then when it happens 2 years earlier than you think it's going to happen, it happened with the Sixers.
Yep.
I mean, in 16 or 17, whatever that year was, when they were better than they thought. And all of a sudden, maybe record-wise, they're ready to take that step forward, but the players you have aren't really ready for that. So that's going to be a hard,
thing
for Briere and Jonesy.
That's why they kept saying, when we're doing this, we want to be a team that's good for a long time, not for a one-year shot at something. So that's sort of where they are right now. But I don't think there's any doubt there. And I mean, they've improved dramatically just in terms of just the interest.
Yes.
Having people in the building, it's been awesome having all those people in the building.
Well, I was going to say, they've won the city back at this point. I think.
Yes, sir. Hockey is back, baby.
It's been a long time, man. I mean, we're all old enough to remember, even when WIP didn't talk hockey a lot, you at least get the people yelling at us for not talking about hockey.
Yeah, yeah.
And that has even gone away.
Oh, no, we're
looking
at Bruins for 70.
Yes, at least 70 seconds.